This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Lately, a lot of people have been asking, where is Andrea Horvath, the NDP leader, and shouldn't she be doing more to capitalize on the unpopularity of Kathleen Wynne and the problem-plagued tumultuous PC leadership race? I actually don't think that's a fair criticism because people have been so focused on those things that they are grabbing all the attention. But at any rate, Andrea Horvath is here now. She'll be taking your calls, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Hello, Andrea.
Hi, Libby. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I'm doing well, actually. Thank you.
Okay. So, obviously, the election of Doug Ford as the PC leader changes a lot of things in the upcoming election. What does it mean for you?
Well, I mean, we knew we were going to get a conservative leader one way or another after, I think you call it that tumultuous leadership race. But at the end of the day, look, Doug Ford is actually promising to do exactly what Kathleen Wynne's already been doing. And people don't have to choose between bad and worse, between Kathleen Wynne and Doug Ford. I mean, more privatization is what he's talking about. More cuts to services is what he's talking about. More sell-off of public assets are the things that he believes in. That's not what we need in Ontario. You know what? There's no doubt that people are disappointed with the Liberals. They're tired of Kathleen Wynne, and they want change. But what New Democrats are offering is change for the better, a change that actually helps us, you know, deal with our overcrowded hospitals and put Hydro One back into public hands where it's operating in the interests of people again. We have so many, you know, issues that the Liberals have ignored over the years or made worse since the Conservatives were in office that now a chance for people to do something completely different this time around.
Andrea, so we were just talking to Doug yesterday, and what he says, as I'm sure you're aware, is that that they believe there is so much waste in the budget now that they will find it without cutting jobs. And fact is, as far as I can tell, and he is promising to cost that, whether you agree with that or not, I think there are a lot of people who believe that. So how do you say otherwise?
Well, I mean, you have to be really careful about, you know, what the underlying agenda is of Doug Ford and the Conservatives. And the last time the Conservatives were in office, Libby, they closed 28 hospitals. They fired 6,000 nurses. This is what Conservatives always do. They fundamentally believe in small government and in privatization. I don't think that's the direction Ontario needs to be going in. In fact, it's proven to be not the best direction because that's what Kathleen Wynne and the Liberals have given us, and people are tired of that. So, I mean, the last, you know, it's unfortunate. I think a lot of people are becoming very cynical about politics these days because they see that they feel that they've been asked to settle for the same thing, regardless if it's the Conservatives or the Liberals. Life just keeps getting harder for folks. And that's why I say it's time for people to really look to the future with some hope again. And that's what New Democrats are going to offer. It doesn't have to be this way in Ontario. I absolutely believe it doesn't have to be this way, but we will definitely get more of the same with Doug Ford at the helm.
Well, does he make your job easier or harder? He is a polarizing figure, so people seem to either really love him or really hate him with very little in between. Would your job have been easier or harder if, say, Christine Elliott won? So at which point, just in terms of a personal choice, we would have had three women at the helm, three Zoomer women, and, you know, in terms of not a lot of personal controversy around any of them. So does that change things for where you have to go with this?
Well, I'm not so sure. I mean, even Christine Elliott, you know, if you want to use her as an example, was talking about, for example, getting rid of the cap and trade system, and that's going to cost us billions of dollars of lost revenue. So nobody was really talking about what kind of cuts then were going to be put in place to cover off that revenue. So, I mean, really, regardless of the leader, what people need to remember is that conservatives offer pretty much the same as what we've seen in the past with conservative governments. They fire people. They cut hospitals. They cut schools. They close schools because that's what they fundamentally believe in. I believe that the public pays a lot of money through their taxes into the public purse, and that public purse needs to be protected, and it needs to be invested in the kinds of programs and services that help people build a good life. I mean, we've talked about this before, I think. Folks really do feel like they're not able to get ahead anymore in this province. We have a province of great wealth and great opportunity, but it seems that more and more that wealth is going to those folks at the top, and everyday families are struggling. If you start taking away their public services, those are the tools that they need to do well in this province. Things are just going to get worse. And that's why I think folks need to look at this election as a chance to do something completely different in Ontario and not settle for the same things that we've been settling for a couple of decades now, which is conservatives that cut and privatize or liberals that cut and privatize. It's time to do something different, to put in place a government who believes that every single government decision should have people, everyday people, at the heart of those decisions. Not about well-connected friends, not about how you're doing in the polls.
Doug Ford says, and I believe there's some evidence to back him up, he's got an appeal that's not exactly ideological. I mean, you're talking about the different ideologies. He taps into this disaffection. I mean, you can call it populism. And I believe him when he says that he appeals to some people who would traditionally be NDP voters. There was just a column today about some people like that saying, oh, let's go hear what he has to say. So what I'm asking is how do you fight that, I guess? You know, what you've been telling me is kind of a, pretty classic story about the ideological differences. But I think what you've got here is something different.
Well, I mean, I think what we've got here is the evidence, though, Libby. I mean, it is true that they closed 28 hospitals when they were in government. It is true that he talked during his election for leadership about not leaving any stone unturned when it comes to where to find more privatization opportunities and to cut even deeper than the $6 billion that's in their platform. So Doug Ford can go around and try to tell everyday middle-class families that he's their hero, but I can tell you the actions that he's had when he's held office or when the Conservatives have held office show something completely different. So we're going to continue to do what we've done, Libby. We're going to bring forward the same kinds of positive, forward-thinking, platform pieces and program, ideas that will make life better for folks. That's what our focus is, and it's going to stay that way, whether it's Doug Ford or whether it would have been Christine Elliott or anyone else for that matter. You know, people, I think, are definitely itching for change, but it needs to be change for the better.
Okay, let's hear from Barry in North York. Hi, Barry.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Good, good. I just had a question, Andrea, that we had an NDP government at one time. Did you think that we did better under that government than Liberal Conservative? And I'm not asking sarcastically, I'm just wondering, because you probably know. I don't know what specifically. I know I was still here when we had the government, but under NDP, do you think we did better? And do you think we will do better under the NDP?
Well, I can certainly say that I think we will do better should we elect an NDP government this time around. I think I was around 30 years old when that government was in office. There's no doubt there were some challenges, fiscal challenges because of an economic downturn. But look, we've had Liberals and Conservatives at the helm in this province literally since the beginning of this province's history. I mean, the NDP has held government once in the province in its entire 150-year history. I think it's time to bring the NDP back in and show what we can do.
Okay.
I think it's time, too. But what about environment? What's your platform on that?
We've maintained our commitment to the cap and trade system. What we do believe, though, is that we need to review some of the pieces of the fairness issues, the transparency. It's not a very transparent system. These are the criticisms we had when the government brought it forward, but we are definitely prepared to continue with cap and trade, but look at how do we use revenues for cap and trade to help, for example, low-income families? How do we acknowledge that some parts of our province, particularly remote northern communities and northern communities overall, because of the harshness of their climate, how do we build in some fairness measures to help them reduce their greenhouse gas emissions and their carbon footprint? Making sure that the programs and the utilization of revenues are transparent, as well as the success of the cap and trade system and the transparency of that success, because that helps us then to do an honest analysis of its effectiveness. And we always want to make sure that it's effective, not only in terms of being able to fund programs to help us get the greenhouse gas emissions down, but to make sure that we're actually doing that and that the carbon footprint of Ontario is effectively shrinking.
Okay, I'm trying to see if we have time for one more very quick question, and sorry, but I don't think we do. Andrea, thanks for that. I hope you'll come back when we have more time and we can take more calls and questions from our audience. And audience, if you have more to say about this, Free for All Friday, of course, is coming up. I see there are a lot of people who do. So thanks, Andrea, and I hope we can have you back real soon.
I hope so too, Libby. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And bye-bye.
That is all the time we have for Fight Back for today, and we now break for traffic and news.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.